If you'd like to, mark your song books at number 326. Brother David Musinks will lead us in that in just a moment. Number 326 will be our invitation song. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Woo, that's a bad sign. Y'all had too much to eat at lunch, I can tell. It is fantastic to see you. I'm trying not to make too big a deal of this, but the Kerrs are back there, and that is just fantastic. It's so good to see you. It's been a long couple of years, and I know it's not over. Every time we think it's over, it kind of rears its ugly head, but hopefully we're closer to the pandemic being over than when we started, so let's hope for that. Amen? All right, open your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to go away from 1 Corinthians 15, and then we're going to come back to it. So it's one of those things where don't get mad at me. I'm telling you now, you might want to put the marker there. So that if we go away from it, we'll come back. The other thing is, Scott was talking about this morning, he had led so many times in a row, and I certainly appreciate that. He's lucky that the writer of our Bible class book is not a member here, because if you read that lesson a couple weeks ago, he'd have to lead every time. And that's a compliment, and y'all tell him why that is. It's good to have everybody. Faith in the resurrection. When we talk about faith, and we talk about having faith, and we talk about our faith in Christ, that's a multifaceted thing, right? The invitation song we're talking about is trust and obey. That is a faith, a giving over of my will, a trusting Jesus so much that I will say to him, Lord, your will be done, but not mine. So that is faith. But what does it mean to say we have faith in Christ? We have faith that he's the Messiah. We have faith that he's the Son of God. But all those things are wrapped into one event. The gospel can be broken down into one word. Resurrection. Resurrection. Without the resurrection, everything else falls away. You and I, we have no hope of heaven. We have no hope of eternal life. But because of the resurrection, we do. In 1 Corinthians 15, if you don't know where this is, one of those kind of landmark passages in your scriptures, if you don't have this one written down, this might be a good place to be. Because 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4, Paul says, I would remind you of the gospel. Love that. I like simple. I like when people tell me what they're fixing to say. So what Paul is about to deliver to us is the gospel. We talk about a lot about preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel. What's the gospel? You would be surprised how many people in churches of Christ, if you ask them that question, and I've done it before, you're going to get the wrong answer. So let's get the right answer. And we get that from Paul in 1 Corinthians, and I'm in Acts 15. It always helps if I am in the right book. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preach to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. There are about five sermons right there. I'm just going to keep going as if that didn't happen. We're talking about the gospel. What is it? He says this in verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. The life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They are why we're here. They are why we have hope. They're why we believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we'll show you a verse on that in just a moment. So do you believe this evening, and this is a serious question, do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? That's the question. Because if you're just kind of coming to church and you're like, yeah, this Jesus guy is mentioned in the Bible and everybody else seems to think that this Jesus guy is real and I guess I'll just become a Christian, that's not faith. Everybody has to ask their question. Do I believe God raised Jesus from the dead? Now, that is a completely different thing than, yeah, I kind of believe this Jesus guy is mentioned in the Bible. Because now I have to deal with it. Now the resurrection makes Jesus something else. I talk about going to heaven. I talk about my hope of heaven and hope of eternal life. All of that is grounded in God's ability to resurrect me from the grave. And we'll talk about how Paul describes this same thing. If I don't believe in Christ's resurrection, why do I think I ever will be? So let's take a look. We're coming back to 1 Corinthians 15, so hold a thumb there. We're going to real quickly go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 is a great place to go in your Bible because it's another brief description of the gospel. You can preach many a sermon out of just these first four verses. And it's the same kind of thing where Paul says this is the gospel. Again, that my ears perk up. I'm like, okay, an apostle is going to tell me what the gospel is. So verse 1 of Romans chapter 1 reads like this. Paul, a servant of the Messiah Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Okay, so same idea. Which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son who was descended from David according to the flesh. I think if you know your Bibles very well, the lessons there are leaping out at you. Okay? For our purposes tonight, though, I want to look at verse 4. And was declared, look at the word declared, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by, how is it that God declared Jesus to be his Son? How is it that he did those things? By the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, Paul says, who is my Lord, and also the Lord of those to whom I write, other Christians, because to be a Christian is to have Jesus Christ as your King. Now, obviously, you realize I extrapolated a little bit on the tail end of that, but it is in harmony with the text. God was saying for all time, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. When he raised him from the dead, he declared him to be his Son. It was more than just freeing Christ from death or getting him out of punishment or whatever you might think of. It was the sign for all time. God was saying, eternal life is possible. Up until then, there had been people in the Bible who had been resurrected from the dead. That had happened. But you know what all those people did again? They died. Jesus did not. Jesus rose from the grave as I hope to rise from the grave to live eternally. We talked about that this morning. Baptism is a symbol of that. That I'm baptized into his death, that just as he lives and walks in newness of life and never to die again, I hope to live a new life. Now, staying in the book of Romans, let's turn over to verse 10 because Paul ties these things together again. And by the way, I know I'm going a little bit quick, but this is supposed to be when the men preach about a 15-minute sermon. So I'm trying to do my best to fill that slot that way. Romans chapter 10, read with me verses 9 and 10. And notice how he ties all these things together, Paul does. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, if you think about those words, that's almost the exact same words from verse 4, just in a slightly different order. Right? We believe in the resurrection, and we believe in the resurrection because it's what it says about Jesus, and because of what it says about Jesus, I have to make a decision. Matthew 28, 18, right? You've heard me say it many times. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Christ has been given a kingdom. Well, who cares? The therefore there of go and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the go therefore is a result of the I have been given a kingdom. I'm king. Those who come and faithfully serve me, Matthew chapter 25, will have eternal life, will have hope of resurrection. So go out there and bring them in. Bring in citizens of my kingdom. Just let me finish this text and we'll go get back to 1 Corinthians 15. Because if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Okay, now back to 1 Corinthians 15. So Paul tells us in the first few verses, this is the gospel. Jesus lived, died, was resurrected. According to the scriptures, all those things occurred. He died. If you're ever looking for that verse about kind of a proof text on Jesus Christ died for my sins, that's a good place. 2 Corinthians 5 is another one. So we know all that. We know that this resurrection was God showing his approval, his great sign of resurrecting Jesus. It declared, that word declared is a verbal word, speaks. The resurrection declares for all time is God saying, this is the Son of God, Jesus, the Christ. So, I ask you the question again. Do you believe in the resurrection? Because you see how absolutely essential it is to our faith. I can't confess Jesus Christ as Lord unless I believe that God raised him from the dead. I can't expect resurrection if I don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And I have to really believe it. If my life is not being transformed, if I don't seem to be able to overcome sin, it may very well be because of this one point that I've never really asked myself and been convinced of the fact that Jesus indeed was resurrected. Because if he was, and he was, there are consequences. Good consequences, but consequences nonetheless. Okay, I promise this lesson will not be as long as it easily could have been. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is an intimidating list. Don't let it be. We're going to read this and get through it pretty quickly. What I've basically done, instead of reading the whole chapter and commenting on it, and I mentioned earlier we'd be here for 50 minutes, I could easily be here for 50 minutes. We'll try and cut it down. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Paul is going to defend rhetorically the resurrection. Do you understand what I mean by that? He's put out his proposition that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, because he rose from the dead. Someone might say, well, Paul, you have to convince me of that. I don't believe that. Why would you say such a thing? So Paul defends, right? He's going to stand up and say, this is why. So this is his this is why of the resurrection. So let's take our Bibles and read 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. Now that last little tale there is a perfect Paul sentence. He constantly kind of says those words over and over again. Here's what he's saying. If Christ wasn't raised, nobody's raised. Nobody's raised. We're all dead, and if we hope in Christ in this world, that's a vain hope, and it has no eternal life. Secondarily, he says, it even means that we are blaspheming Jehovah God by what we preach. Now, this is a serious charge. Paul says, if Christ is not raised, then we are lying about what God has done, because we claim that God did that. If God did not do that, then we're lying about God. Not only is there no resurrection, no eternal life, but we're going to hell for sure for lying about what God has done. Do you understand what he's saying here? He's saying, why would I do that? Why would I lie about God? Why would I put my faith in a resurrection if none of that happened? Let's continue reading verses 16 through 19. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be proud. Christianity is not a self-help program. Now it'll help you live a better life. Don't misunderstand me. You'll have peace of mind, and you'll have friends and associations in support of the body of Christ in your area. Yes, all those things are good. But Christianity is not about this world. Christianity is about the next. And there is no next world if there's no resurrection. Continue reading in verse 20. I'll read verses 20 through 24. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man, he means Adam there, so as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. Man. First of all, he just starts off with, let's do away with this foolishness. Christ has been raised. And then Paul echoes Romans chapter 5 about the idea that sin and death came into the world through one man. He means that through Adam, sin entered the world. So this one man killed all people, and this one man achieved eternal life. So as the one man Adam brings death, the one man Christ brought eternal life to all those who are in his kingdom. Did you catch that as we read that? Then comes the end. Where do you want to be in the end? I can assure you the answer is in that text. You want to be in the kingdom. Because Jesus is going to tenderly take all those in the kingdom and hand them over to the Father. And if you're not in the kingdom, you're not getting handed over to the Father. You're being banished from the Father. All this, every word of this, is around the truth of the fact that Jesus Christ indeed died, buried, and rose from the dead. Look down a few verses to verse 35. And I had to kind of pick and choose some of this, but I wanted to finish this week on this glorious picture of the resurrection body. I thought this would be a good kind of pick-me-up. So dual purposes with a sermon. Rebuild faith, build faith in the resurrection. If you've never considered that, to hopefully get you to think about it. And then secondarily, to finish with this beautiful passage about resurrection and eternal life. So now Paul feels like he's defended his case. He's proven, in fact, that Christ was raised from the dead. It was God that did it, and he's not lying when he says so. So now he turns and he looks at how this works. Because, you know, and there are a lot of questions that people can ask preachers questions they can't answer. It's not hard in my case, but there are questions. There's an age-old question about how many angels can you fit on the head of a pin. This is kind of a Renaissance thinker's kind of a question. And the reason it's a thinker's question is everybody can have an opinion because nobody knows. Can God create a rock so heavy he can't lift it? Right? This kind of thing. You can ask questions that cannot be answered. One of those questions is, what will it be like in heaven? There are hints in scriptures. We know we'll be more like the angels in heaven, neither marrying nor giving in marriage. This is about as good a hint as we get. And what he actually tells us is, we can't know. As we read the text, I want you to imagine for just a moment that you have never seen a corn plant. Never in your life. You've never seen an ear of corn. You've never seen a Jolly Green Giant can of corn. All you have ever seen is a kernel of corn. Just a kernel, right? Everybody knows what I mean by that? A niblet, maybe? I don't think a niblet would grow. But you get a kernel of corn. That's all you've ever seen. So if you were to plant that in the ground, how do you know what a plant would look like? You would have no idea. Now, you're never going to find out until you plant that kernel of corn. You're looking at a kernel of corn. I don't know what my body's going to be like. But I can tell you this, this one's going to have to be planted first. And when it's planted, it's going to rise. And it's no longer going to be a kernel. Now all that preacher talk, let's read Paul's version of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 35 through 44. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same. There is one kind for animals, one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Does that get you excited? I'm excited. When we, you know, to the Israelites, a dead body was unclean. Did you catch that about it's sown in dishonor? It's sown in death. Death is a representation of what sin does in the world. It is essentially Satan's mark on humankind. Ha, I got another one. Remember he told Adam and Eve, did God really say you will not surely die? God's just fooling you. God was not fooling. Every human being who's lived other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Enoch and Elijah accepted, died and suffered the curse of sin. When we die and suffer the curse of sin, we are in dishonor. We are uncleanness. But we won't remain that way. We will not remain that way. I have one more set of verses, and this is just the close of the text. And we'll be done tonight. I can't tell you what that body is going to be. I can tell you that Christ has that body. When Christ ascended into heaven, at some point, he went from being earthly and human to being spiritual, in my mind. And certainly we will do the same. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the fact that all will be called out of the grave and we will go to meet the Lord in the air. At some point, don't ask me where, at some point between here and there, we will be changed. There are a million questions. What's a resurrection body? What happens if I'm cast asunder from the bottom of the sea? I have no idea. God is powerful. He's going to do it. That's what I know. But we're going to be changed. You may not know where this is in your Bible, but you're familiar with this text. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through the end of the chapter. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. That's a great way to look at death. I've just passed from what we talk about passing away. That's part of what that means. I passed. Once I die, I've already accomplished one of these steps. Does that make sense? I'm one step closer to heaven. Death is not a defeat, for those of you who know the rest of this verse. Death is not sadness for the Christian. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Woo! Do you believe in the resurrection? If you do, what a glorious thing death can be, is. What a glorious thing the second coming is. What a glorious thing our Christian life is now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul and Timothy in the same study. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. You can't help, Paul can't help himself. He delves into Romans chapter 7 for just a second here. The sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And the last verse, the Robert Jackson verse, if you will, the Mike Richardson verse, those two preachers, whenever they preach a meeting, they would end with this verse. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. It is not in vain because death will not win victory over us. Death has no victory over me. I have eternal life, and for me to die is to live. Are you a Christian? You got to answer the question about the resurrection. If you answer the question about the resurrection and you put your faith in God that he raised Jesus from the dead, declared him to be the Son of God, declared him to be the Messiah, gave him a kingdom, are you ready to confess him as Lord and say, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I believe if I live my life here serving him, he will save me. That is the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is powerful and is moving. If it moves you tonight, please come forward as we stand and we sing.